We can become master alchemists, and there's very clear systems and how you accomplish that. It's not just who you were born from, what environment you grew up in, all those things matter, but there's very real skills you can develop that bring that into your life full spectrum that creates the vitality that heals and keeps us well.
Collective Insights is a voyage through topics and technologies revolutionizing human well-being. Groundbreaking approaches for a better world and a better life await you. Welcome to Collective Insights.
Hi, I'm Dr. Gregory Kelly, and before we get into this week's episode, I want to talk about one of the most important molecules in your body to help you age well. I'm talking about NAD+. High NAD+ levels help our bodies stay youthful in so many ways, such as creating energy, maintaining healthy DNA, detecting and using nutrients efficiently, and protecting your cellular health. But in our 30s and 40s, our NAD+ levels start to plummet. That's why our science team made Qualia NAD+. Qualia NAD+ is a clinically tested formula with an uncommonly advanced approach. It can boost NAD+ levels up to 50% by combining 14 ingredients, including three premium NAD+ precursors, working together to support NAD production deep into life. To learn more about NAD+ research and to try Qualia NAD+ risk-free for 100 days, go to neurohacker.com/NAD15. And use code NAD15 for 15% off Qualia. That's NAD15 for better aging at neurohacker.com/NAD15. Hi, this is Dr. Greg. I'm going to be the host for today's episode of Collective Insights. And with us today, it's my privilege to share Dr. Mark Percival. Mark pioneered the health coaching and functional integrative healthcare industry back in the 80s, while practicing as a dual-licensed doctor of naturopathic medicine and chiropractic. He's coached thousands of patients on getting healthier and hundreds of doctors on how to be more effective. He's the founder of Health Coach, co-developer of eMetrics, and co-author of our book, Shapeshift. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Greg. It's a real privilege to be here with you.
Well, you're quite welcome. It's just as background for our audience. I first heard Mark speak in 1993 during my first, I would say it was my first month of naturopathic school. And Mark was up there giving what to me was just at the time a brilliant presentation that I would say, you know, had elements of mind-body medicine, of how important our state management is and our beliefs and becoming, you know, better versions of ourselves and functioning and better, being more healthy. And at the time, I was like, oh, this is the coolest guy ever. I hope someday, like, I'll get to know him better. And lo and behold, around 2000, our paths crossed, and we spent the better part of 17 years working together. So I very much think of Mark as my brother. His family is my second family. So I'm thrilled to share him with you today.
Thank you, Greg. And you sharing that story brings up for me when I got the privilege of hearing you speak for the first time, where we're guests speakers at an international symposium in Australia. And I remember having the same experience. You hadn't shared with me at that time your initial experience with me, but I remember very vividly listening to you and going, we got to work together. And I'm glad we made that happen.
Me too. So with that, we're going to just dive in. I've got so much I want to share of Mark's wisdom with you today. So first, just as background, Mark's been doing it longer than almost anyone we've had on our show. He's learned, lived, methodically measured how to get healthy in more people than anyone else I know. So Mark, share a bit about your background, what got you into this, you know, amazing game of helping people get healthier, and some of the experiences you've had over, you know, what's amounted to 3.5 decades plus.
It's interesting because probably like many who are following similar paths, necessity was the, I think, the first lever, followed by a refusal to accept status quo. I was in my first year of university, and that was 50 years ago now, when a serious spinal injury left me in severe pain and with virtually immobilized from the waist down. And in seeking diagnosis to try and understand what happened, because it wasn't when people ask what happened, it was while I was training in pole vault. And people think, oh, I, you know, was going over, you know, 18 feet, missed the pad. No, I was literally running down the runway, ready to plant my pole in the pit, and I collapsed and couldn't move from the waist down. And it was shocking. And I spent 8 weeks in that state without effective diagnosis or understanding what could be going on. And when the radiologist who I was next in line for me to consult with shared with me that I would need to do a spinal myelogram, which at the time was far less safe a procedure. It had much higher risks at the time. And that at best, I would probably undergo surgery if they could find an area that was operable. And I should just give up any notions about continuing to do any track and field or football, which is my other passion at the time. And as a 17-year-old, previously fit young man with aspirations to further my athletic career, that was just unacceptable. So that literally drove me out of his office, because I also had an acquaintance who had had a serious adverse side effect from doing a myelogram that had left them at least temporarily further paralyzed and disabled. So off I went, and in my pursuit, I ended up at a chiropractor's office. And to this day, you know, I've shared this story many times, but I get goosebumps each time I share it. He met with me and he shared with me, he said, well, Mark, when a healthy, strong, fit body is not healing as we would expect it to, first thing we look for is interference to that healing process. The natural course of events is for your body and mind to seek to heal. So if this is a physical restriction or interference, that's my area of expertise and I can very likely help you and I expect a full recovery. And lo and behold, we traced it back to an injury I'd had in my spine 3 years earlier that I thought had completely healed, but had left a mechanical dysfunction that he was able to identify and alleviate the pressure on my nervous system. And I had full recovery within 3 months of that time and returned to have my best year in track and field and football that year. So that was a serious aha moment. And the light bulb came on because I was heading into the field of psychology, doing my pre-med studies and fascinated by the power of the mind to influence our potential. Even though I was very engaged and immersed in athletics, I wasn't born the natural athlete. I wasn't the 6'2", 210 pounds that my brother was. And I had to work at it in order to hold my own. So I was always interested in how do I explore more of my potential. And for me, that was a psychological game primarily. Well, that changed. I entered chiropractic college, and as the twists and turns in life lead us, unfortunately, around the corner was a automobile accident for my dear brother, David, and best friend. And it left him requiring further interventions and procedures that we were told were low risk. But during one of them, his heart stopped for, records were kind of fuzzy on this, but 10 to 15 minutes, long enough to cause severe hypoxic brain damage. And it left him in a state of spastic paralysis, unable to voluntarily function in any way. And he developed severe pneumonia right away, and they gave him just a few months to live. And that, of course, was absolutely unacceptable to me. And with my framework that we want to look for the interference, well, we knew that the hypoxic brain damage was interference, but I didn't know what his potential was. Could we find other ways to unlock and help his body cope better with what has occurred? That led me to naturopathic medicine. So I graduated from chiropractic college, went into naturopathic medicine because it was, and still is, where you go to learn the very best of herbal medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, Chinese medicine, acupuncture, clinical nutrition, even many approaches to mental, emotional health and state management. So graduating from that, began to work with patients. I should say a caveat is what I did learn and was able to share with my brother. He didn't just live 4 to 6 months. He lived 25 years in some level of comfort, which was remarkable. And I feel very blessed if that was the only thing that came out of my endeavors that was more than worthwhile. Yet I had a passion now for, I'd woken up. I knew there was potential available to us that most of us don't explore. So in my patients, I was finding that I could do the same procedures on several different people and get very different results. What I could do to them from outside in no matter how learned I was. And I kept going to every seminar because I thought if I could get good enough, I could fix anyone. It was my hope, my attention. I think it's the hope of most young health professionals. Needless to say, the game really became not getting in their way, quite frankly. And it became apparent to me that we needed to work together. If we could create a collaborative teamwork environment where people were willing to learn, to explore what they could do to help themselves, how to unleash their potential by providing more resources to their all-wise innate intelligence, the system that heals. And if we could identify other interferences that I could coach them how to remove, or that I could do things outside in to help them remove, they would begin to flourish. And there was no system that I could use to educate them about this. So you can well imagine the constraints, especially graduating at a time where interest rates were over 20%. I had borrowed several $100,000 to open my first clinic and to finish my my studies, et cetera, et cetera. So there were real financial pressures and needs. I thought, God, I'm not going to forsake this aspect of my practice, but I got to find more efficient ways to do it. So I began creating education tools. And then I realized what my passion really was being an effective health coach. So there was no industry called health coaching at the time. So I began creating the materials. And as I created the materials, I trained other professionals who were working with me at the time. That led to an international audience of health professionals, where I continued to evolve the tools and share how to be more effective health coaches with a much broader audience. The limitations of that, though, were that it was one thing to empower people and get them excited and inspired, to educate them on things, you know, to do, but without a system that allows you to integrate new habits in a fashion that's convenient and pleasurable, it's not going to happen in most cases, except the most highly leveraged, seriously ill people, which I wanted to move beyond that and reach out and be more effective in prevention. So I needed to understand systems. And our paths crossed, Greg, and we worked together. And you helped me understand chaos and complexity and networked intelligence and the influence of circadian rhythms and waveforms and variability and bioenergetics. And it just brought me into a whole new level of awareness that led me to move out of the health coach industry and work on developing the tools and systems that we needed to be more effective health coaches, and to for individuals themselves, with or without health coaches, to be more effective in supporting themselves to play their game of life more effectively. So that's it's brought us to where we are today, where I've had the great fortune of working with my two daughters, Dr. Aspen Percival, who's a licensed naturopathic health professional, and Lexi Percival, her little sister, my youngest daughter, who's just a little brainy Allen. We've, with our expanding team, we've been able to pull together a system that we're delighted that fills a huge gap in the healthcare system today.
Well, that's great. And that system for our listeners is called V-Metrics. It's what Mark has been working on passionately for, you know, I think 5 years. With some of the materials we co-created, weaved into it. And you know, so we'll talk a bit more about that. And just to share with the audience, one of the things that's been consistent since I've known Mark is Mark's always been focused on education, but what I would say is non-delusional education. Mm-hmm. Like Mark's always been very passionate about figuring out what works. You know, so long before there was, you know, the biohacking movement or N-of-1 experiments or, you know, any of the today's, you know, wearable gadgets, Mark was always like, oh, what's this new thing you're telling me about, Greg? Well, all right, I'll test it out myself. I'll, you know, see if it works. I'll test it on some patients that are eager to do this. So Mark's been self-experimenting, you know, since, you know, way before it became a thing. So with that, I want to tee up V-Metrics, because I know one of the things that you did and that periodically you'd ask me about as you were developing your system was new technology, you know, wearables and other devices that you wanted to get my feedback on, or that you wanted to share what you were seeing. So with that, are there you know, any, you know, I guess, measurables, you know, things that you think are just instrumental, and some things that maybe you see being used quite a bit that, you know, in your experience, they, you know, work valuable enough to put into your system?
Well, thank you. And it's interesting because as having common backgrounds in naturopathic medicine, you know that naturopathic medical traditions are very important. And often you find yourself, although the new things are often fascinating and lead us to want to explore them, it's returning to the fundamentals that often produce the most significant shifts in people's ability to regenerate and recover. And I think the same is true in this world of wearable gadgets and new technologies. First and foremost, I think what a technology has to do is plug into a system that is workable, that's reliable, and that can help you get where you want to go in a more convenient and enjoyable fashion. And unfortunately, more signal just becomes noise. And we've got all kinds of data that we're capturing, or what we would call, you know, new signals to respond to, that unfortunately have a huge level of variability, that not natural variability that's being captured, but variability in how it's analyzed. So for someone who gets excited about improving their sleep, the focus often becomes on which sleep technology, which gadget can they wear or use to give them feedback on how long they're sleeping, what the different time is in different stages of sleep. Absolutely fascinated me. So as these devices have come out, I've adopted them. I've got multiple other clients and people adopting them and gathering feedback in a very deliberate way. So one of the first things I do is, there's three gadgets that measure sleep. I use them all simultaneously and I compare the data. And it's been very disappointing to see the huge variability in data. So one's telling me that, yeah, I got an hour and 12 minutes of deep sleep, or the same device, and then the new algorithm tells me I got 20 minutes. That's very confusing. There's metrics that are reliable that can be captured in standardized fashion that are underutilized today. So one would be resting heart rate. Resting heart rate is so hugely valuable when you standardize how and when that you capture it. So we have very specific standardization of how we encourage people to capture that. At the same time that you're capturing a standardized resting heart rate, capturing heart rate variability at that time, hugely valuable to capture heart rate variability in the context of your resting heart rate. And then to be able to do that throughout the day, because between resting heart rate and heart rate variability, you're able to glean very actionable insight into what your state is at the time. And then you can test your skill, your understandings of how to shift your state to those states that are more conducive to recovery, that allow for you to reboot, that optimize your ability to learn, advance, and really that allow your cells to recover and thrive for new vitality. So those are hugely important metrics. And you just need a reliable heart rate monitor and a reliable heart rate variability algorithm to calculate that. We have our own favorites. We use the Polar H10 for capture for a variety of reasons, because not only do we want to capture resting heart rate, which is very low variability between. So if we took an Apple Watch or a ring, a Whoop and a Fitbit, we get very similar resting heart rate when it's measured under consistent conditions. However, then when we also want to capture peak exertion heart rate, so at peak intensity exercise, where you want to be if you're doing high intensity interval training, for example, even in some aspects of your high intensity resistance training, you want to be able to capture that more accurately. Then there's a huge variation between those devices, unfortunately. So Polar, their chest strap version, gives a reliability that rules out 30% of the variation that happens with other devices when you're especially moving very quickly, because they don't capture signals frequently enough, or they're on a body part which moves more than, for example, a chest strap does. So to be able to capture that data at those times, and then blood pressure is another hugely underrated, overlooked tool. To capture blood pressure like heart rate and heart rate variability at specific times under standardized conditions, oh my gosh, we know that one of the highest risk factors for cardiovascular disease, which should be the leading concern for most people because it's still the number one killer and cause of disability for people, the variations in properly captured blood pressure reveal very reliable feedback on your risk factors in that area. And we can get so enamored with many other risk factors while our blood pressure, systolic and diastolic, is either inching up to the high end of so-called normal or starts getting into, you know, hypertensive domain, et cetera. And that's so actionable and it's a great motivator. So simple blood pressure is just a hugely insightful tool. And then we get into things like functional strength. functional strength, my gosh, you know, how many providers are reliably measuring functional strength in a standardized way and giving you feedback on how to do so similarly and build it on your own? Because it's just very simple at-home body weight, no equipment exercises you can do that markedly improve your health span and longevity. It's undeniable, and yet it's so overlooked. And if you look at changing the environment, for example, when you're doing blood pressure to orthostatic readings, you get more information on the autonomic nervous system. So if you do heart rate recovery, if you do VO2 max, for example, which you can do with very simple technology, when I say VO2 max, VO2 max surrogates, right? You're not using the oxygen exchange, you know, mask and, you know, the treadmill and the elaborate technology that's going to cost you $500 or more dollars usually to do in a specialized lab. You can do tests at home with simple step tests with proper monitoring of your heart rate and your response over time periods and get very reliable trending of VO2 max. When you click those things together, you get an image, you get a representation of how vital that individual is. And when you think about it, what information could be more important than how you're tracking in regard to your vitality, which it really means how your mitochondria are functioning under various conditions and circumstances. So if you can improve the efficiency of your mitochondria, if you can reliably and objectively improve the biomarkers of vitality, now you got something that's really meaningful in a system that you can now measure your response to in light of the various experiments you run and your fascinating, you know, biohacker, you know, explore the, you know, the next greatest thing that turns you on, that you enjoy doing, and get reliable feedback on how well it's working for you and whether it's worth the ongoing investment of your attention, time, and money.
Well, and I just want to touch on the long history you have with heart rate variability to give our audience a sense of, like, this isn't a new thing. Mark's been interested. I think it was, you know, after that Australia conference, I was living in Connecticut. It was when you were still in Ontario, in the Kitchener, I believe was the name of the place you were living. And we're like, oh, yeah, Greg, you should drive up and, you know, spend, you know, a bit of time, meet my family. So, you know, at the time, Lexi and Aspen were, you know, super young girls. And, you know, so this was around 2000. And I remember just sitting in your, you know, your house, and I had the hard math, heart rate variability software on my computer, and measuring Aspen's and yours and mine and your mom's at the time. And, you know, so it was something we started teaching other docs about for listeners back, you know, around 2000. So it's been a long time tool that, you know, we think is super important. So when Mark talks about heart rate variability, he's got a depth of experience using it with patients that is, you know, largely unmatched. So,
well, and, you know, a great deal of the framework and the understanding and hypotheses that I've been exploring, you were a catalyst for, Greg, when you were sharing with me originally your work and insights into the principles of waves. And we are looking at variability and why we were so enamored with that original version of HeartMath technology they made available was that you could visualize the amplitude of the sinus rhythm. And looking at that, the difference between my 78-year-old mom at the time and her very low variability, and then looking at yours and mine, which, you know, looked pretty good till we saw my 8-year-old daughters. And we go, wow, like, that's fantastic. And yeah, there's no denying that you can look and go, okay, 8-year-old, healthy, vibrant, you know, young person, better vitality than 40 and 50-year-old, you know, health responsible men, and then a 78-year-old largely naive woman that had been highly stressed for a good part of her life due to my brother's accident, etc. And you could see that, you could visualize that waveform. And if I had any one tool to measure someone's vitality, it would be measuring their waveforms, which is so much of what we do at the heart of our V-metrics technology and in identifying and trending vitality over time, that information on an individual's variability, how they dynamically respond to various circumstances and stressors, it's marvelous. And, you know, in light of that, that's why such an important area of exploration for me has been state management and how state management ties into that. So, we underappreciate as a culture the importance of great vibes, which are just those waveforms that we can perceive that we generate internally in response to external inputs, we really underestimate the role of learning how to generate those consistently in spite of whatever's going on around us that is in the moment. Our ability to take that information, internalize it, interpret it in a way that we find ways to be better and do better, that's the most healing force I know of, which love is one of those ways of feeling that bring that about. And learning more about what are those feelings and helping to identify what are those signals that our body-mind gives us, those interoceptions that allow us to differentiate good, better, and best that's going on outside of us and inside of us, is a remarkable skill that is, I think, underappreciated and underpracticed. And we hope to change that with our V-Metrics system and technology.
Well, I know one of the tutorials or education modules, you can call them labs within your system, that you strongly encouraged me to listen to was, and it was one of the introductory ones on using the system, was all about, you know, the heart. So you maybe spend just a few minutes distilling down what's, you know, it was 10 minutes in the video, which was well worth it. But, you know, just sharing a little bit of that content with our audience.
Well, it's so fascinating because everyone can grok that all we've got is right now. So you and I, this is what we've got. Listeners that are investing their precious attention into listening to this and hopefully feeling like they're participating with this, that's a huge investment because our most precious assets are our attention, intention, and energy. It's not time. We don't own time. We don't control time. It's in our attention. There's no states that are more healing and resourceful than those that our heart tells us enliven us. So I think most things in life come down to relationships, even relationships with not only other human beings, but other forms of nature and even inanimate objects, your relationship with your home, your relationship with obviously your closest circle, your relationship with your meaning and purpose in life, with your body mind, your whatever amount of body fat, your body composition, your shape, those relationships are at the core. And if you're relating to them in a way that's literally interfering with and downgrading your vibe, making you feel poorly and less resourceful and stuck and disappointed and sad, versus when you learn to relate to them in ways that are very real and authentic as you understand the miracle that we are and that we're the most confounding, dynamic, collaborative, creative, intelligent form of life that we know of in our universe. And we know very little about it. But what we do know is great vibes are great vibes. And there's no vibe that's more important than feeling love, feeling empathy, feeling compassion. And that's how you make effective changes in your life. People are always asking, how do you make changes? And God bless James Clear in his wonderful book, Atomic Habits. You can tell by how it sells how many people are struggling with habit integration. Whoever said habits are supposed to be easy to create is bonkers. You know, they are not easy. I'm working on habits that are fundamental, that I know make perfect sense, that escape me on a daily basis and have for 10 years. But I'm getting a little bit better at it as I go. And the more I have a community and a system that supports that, the more advances and progress I make, which means I get to experience those emotions more consistently. And we don't just have to be selective about who we give our attention to because of what we already have happening. We can become master alchemists. We can create and manifest those ways of being with a lot broader group of people when we understand how to do it internally, inside out. It's contagious. It's a great vibe and people want more of it. And there's very clear systems and how you accomplish that. It's not just who you were born from, what environment you grew up in, all those things matter, but there's very real skills you can develop that bring that into your life full spectrum that creates the vitality that heals and keeps us well.
I think of some of the many retreats we had in your home up in Kelowna, British Columbia, mm-hmm. where we would bring in health professionals from, you know, different parts of the U.S. and Canada, and you know, do, you know, relationship building, you know, education as well, right, on how they yeah. do things in their practice. But they kept coming back because of the relationship. And absolutely. I know you and I use that, or you have used that term repeatedly, you know, for many, many years. And I know for me, I care about what people do, but it's always been important to me to understand the relationship they have with what they're doing. Because quite often what we do, if the relationship is poor, gets a very different result.
Yeah. And if you want to understand the nature of that relationship, become a better listener to your body mind and a better interpreter. And that data can only come from one place. And so there's lots of cool technology and gadgets out there, but the data that matters most is that data that comes from within, which includes key biomarkers of function that are properly standardized. You don't get it in a blood test. You get certain inputs that are relevant and at times actionable from doing blood tests and various panels. And God knows there's many panels that are, and specialty tests that are wonderfully valuable in helping people heal, but none of them replace the importance or the value of, in the long-term merits of, learning to tune in, interpret your signals, take the information that you consume, whether it's food or what you hear or what you see or what you feel, process it in a way, transform that energy, add information to it that actually is constructive and serves to manifest what you, the change you want to be and see in the world, and magic flows. We are information and energy processors and generators. Everything's about energy fragments, not, I mean, the value, but your relationship with something is determined by how you respond to it. And your response to it determines and further invites a different type of relationship with it. And so we talk about all these inputs, you know, a cold plunge, you know, how valuable is that? And so your relationship with a cold plunge is, you know, I mean, it's got no question it's going to break up existing patterns, but how much of that cold exposure becomes hormetic and useful, and how much on your scale, given your current load and perceptions, becomes a distress and is counterproductive, people don't really have the guidance on that.
When, you know, maybe just a quick story, as an example of relationship. So, you know, we've had obviously many opportunities to share a meal together, you know, often with your wife, your daughters, your mom. But, you know, we've also shared meals with other health professionals at times. And I can think of, you know, one example, we were in a diner somewhere in Long Island area and met with a couple that wanted the time to, see if there was a way to work more closely with us. And, you know, breakfast time. You and I got diner food, right? Like eggs and, sourdough bread.
That's where you...
Whatever, right? And they, you know, ordered, they kind of looked at us like we were crazy people, like eating.
You got out the garlic and the crucifix and the holy water.
Right. And neither of them were, great health, visibly at least, right? That like certainly didn't have your vitality. And I remember at the time, you know, after them kind of looking at us like we were the crazy people, you saying something like, you know, I've worked with, you know, at this point, you know, 10,000 plus patients. I've just never seen neuroticism breed the kind of vitality that I want, right? And I just thought like, right on. Because, right, like our relationship with that meal was like, hey, it's not like we eat at a diner all the time, but like, let's just enjoy it. Right, instead of assuming our body can't deal with it.
I hope I wasn't that frank, but I might have been. Like the, this is how like my more kind, compassionate self coming through there. But sometimes we get tugged, we get the string gets pulled, and we unravel a little bit. But to judge people, you know, based on what we observe their actions to be, based on our notions about what healthy actions are. And in any way think that, you know, shame or guilt or coercion somehow is easier to digest than diner food is ridiculous.
Yep.
Yeah. That said, I can't remember my last diner meal, but
no.
I look forward to my next one.
Well, I know at one point, you know, this probably goes back 15, 20 years, we trademarked Trust Your Body. I think we never did anything with it at the time. But the idea was there's, you know, like our thought at the time, at least this is my recollection of our thought. I shouldn't say yours, but it would be like there's almost...
Keep going, the vibes are good.
There's almost two camps of people, right? There's people that think like the path to get the, you know, performance and health results they want is by controlling everything. And the other camp would be, no, like, well, let's put good inputs in, right? Let's do our best, right, you know, as often as we can to make sure all our needs are met. And then let's just trust our body. It's got a lot of wisdom. It's going to figure out, you know, how to do the best for us, giving its resources. And
that's what good systems provide for, right? You can let go of the minutia. Good systems will give you the opportunity to make better decisions, which produce better outcomes consistently. My gosh, if I could snap my fingers and improve the quality of any other human being's life who wasn't habituated in a healthy way to routine practices to allow their body and mind to reboot through their busy days and their busy lives, it would be doing paced resonant breathing. And then if you then stack that with some other simple things, you know, the appropriate natural sunlight rather than this fear of sun, and create a healthy relationship with sunlight, understand it, and know how you can use it as your friend and as one of the most important hermetic stresses that we can expose ourselves to, rather than thinking about it, oh, I'm taking my vitamin D, I don't need to get my sunlight. You know, it's just, there's so many aspects that are little things like that, but they all start with a mindset of trusting our body, like what you're talking about, Greg, and not trusting it to be able to overcome what you put in its way, but trusting that if you are attentive, not obsessive, but attentive, if you're aware, you're conscious, you live in the moment, you listen to what your body and mind tells you, you seek to expand on your knowledge base and your understandings so you can make better decisions that aren't constantly being made by unconscious and subconscious biases that we have, and you progressively explore them, the results will delight and enliven you, and it'll become a way of life that you'll never move away from, which is why the biohacker movement has gone, you know, the way it has. Our body mind responds to resources, nutritional resources, and you understand our wave-like and rhythmic nature. You understand signal to noise, and that our body mind responds to the variations in things, not the quantity of things. And then reviews the work that you and your team at Neurohacker have done and the groundwork you've laid in supplements. If you're going to supplement, you've got to investigate how you approach your formulations and recommendations at Neurohacker, because they are the most insightful that exist in the world of supplementation today. And it's been a joy to see you apply what you've learned and we've learned and explored for so many years in that world, because it's so necessary, because there's people, you know, understandably are so lost, confused and misdirected when it comes to what their relationship is with food and supplements and what the wisest, safest experiments are that they can run, that they end up doing things often that confuse their system and work against them rather than support it. So the thing that they bought to save money because they think it's going to do something that it can't possibly do ends up being a total waste, where they can invest a little more in the formulations and approach that you've formulated and that your brilliant company supports, and feed their mind with the podcast that you folks sponsor. They're always so insightful and engaging. It's a great spend of my attention and time. So I thank you for all of that.
Oh, my pleasure. So we don't have a lot of time left, and I want to hit a couple areas. So just super quickly, one of the things that I think is brilliant in the V-Metrics app is the Habit Creator. So, you know, Mark mentioned the work of James Clear and Atomic Habits, but one of the things that Mark was an outlier in the naturopathic world on, even back when I was in school, was just the importance of coaching people routinely to build better habits. So, you know, I love that part of your app. Mark, maybe just touch on that briefly.
Well, it's interesting. I remember when I was talking to you about the model and how we wanted to approach that, you went, oh, you should just launch this as a, you know, a standalone, you know, and we might do that sometime. Right now, you know, it's a integral part of our V-Metrics app, but I don't know why you'd ever want to, you know, separate out the rest of it. Because really what we built that to do is to make it easier to follow the principles and honor the systems that, for example, James Clear underscores and highlights in his book, Atomic Habits, and in his lovely regular weekly newsletters and blog, that you want to make that simple and convenient. You've got to recognize the biases that influence our decisions. And when we're in a a state where we're less resourceful, we're overtired, we're overhungry, we're feeling distressed. That state dictates the choices we make. It's not just a rational decision-making process. You know, we're highly irrational in the decisions we make. However, we can make decisions with the appropriate system to integrate habits that improve our state and makes the adoption of new habits in that make it a virtuous cycle that we are learning and adopting new habits incrementally. So we can simply go from learning about something new to clicking on a habit, plugging it into what we call a habit stack, where you have a stimulus. Let's say it's putting on the coffee pot in the morning is the stimulus for my habit stack for my morning routine. And that morning routine starts with the state check that I referred to earlier, where in a standardized way, I gather the data on my heart rate and heart rate variability, which informs me about how I'm doing, especially when I track that longitudinally across the last week and many weeks and look at my state management trend. I can see whether I'm trending in a favorable direction or trending in an unfavorable direction. And I can then reinforce those habits which help me trend in a favorable direction, which if the case was I wasn't fully recovered, would be making sure I engage more state checks, more reboots during the day, which I found for me and for many others is doing what we call paced resonant breathing 2.0 practice, where we're visualizing those values that we, what we call our to-be list, which really we've created values index so that you can have at a glance your top seven values. You glance at that and go, okay, how does me showing up in my moments today, living congruent with these values, look and feel? And that's so inspiring in and of itself. And you envision those outcomes, those ways of being, while you do your paced resonant breathing. You clear the slate, you install an upgraded operating system each time that you do that. The habit tracker at each checkpoint, because I really don't like a bunch of notifications in the day. I have them turned off most of the day, but I do have my push notifications from my VMetrics app turned on because they let me know, hey, Mark, it's checkpoint one, for example, which will come on from whenever you get up through to 9:30 in the morning. And then at 3-hour intervals, because there's different habits I want to associate with different times of the day. So it'll remind me, hey, Mark, it's state check, paced resonant breathing time. So I literally can just in a couple of clicks plug that in and have it come up in whatever checkpoints I want for the day. And I can also do that with hydration. I can do that with my my reflections on my to-be list. I can do that to remind me to do my daily reflections on being better, because it's so important to managing our state and integrating new habits to finish your day by looking back through your day and catching yourself where you did better. It's also deeply satisfying to be able to track where you've been successful. You want that little hit of dopamine to go, hey, I nailed my habits today. So we make it simple to click on your calendar and look and go, how many days did I execute on any habit? And how many days did I execute on all of my habits? So we just made it easier for people to integrate because there wasn't a tool that did that around health and wellness.
Thank you, Mark. And so we're going to wrap up. And just for our listeners, the VMetrics system, Mark's been working on continuing to evolve. It's a super tool. And Mark and his daughters have put their passion in it to inspire you to become healthier. So Mark, what's the best way for our listeners to check out you and your system?
Well, very simply, they can just go to the-metrics.com. V stands for vitality. And you'll see on the website, you'll see you can take a free trial. You can kick the tires. It's a subscription basis, month to month, no contracts. You can stop anytime. You can ask for money back anytime. Either we deliver value that's relevant to you that you're open to receiving and collaborating with us on, or you don't. We're also looking for health professionals and other companies that have a vision that overlaps and shares and resonates with ours that we can collaborate on and roll this out. Because as you know, we're really pre-official launch. We're still doing our scalability refinements with respect to our system. So we haven't kind of gone public, but you can right now go in and sign up for your free trial and see what you think and feel about the program. If you've got feedback, just send it to support@vmetrics.com. I'll get poked and prodded. And if it's something that we want to connect on and collaborate, then we'll follow up and we'll do so. So it's really that simple. You just come and check us out and take a test drive.
Well, thanks. And thanks for being with us today to share your, what I think of as well-earned wisdom in health and performance.
Well, it's an honor, Greg, and I thank you so much and your company and team for the work that you're doing ongoingly. It's making a difference, and I respect it and appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This podcast is for informational purposes only. The podcast is not intended as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. You should not use the information on the podcast for diagnosing or treating a health problem or disease, or prescribing any medication or other treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider before taking any medication or nutritional, herbal, or homeopathic supplement, and with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on this or any other podcast. Reliance on the podcast is solely at your own risk. Information provided on the podcast does not create a doctor-patient relationship between you and any of the health professionals affiliated with our podcast. Information and statements regarding dietary supplements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration and are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Opinions of guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications or credibility. Individuals on this podcast may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to therein. If you think you have a medical problem, consult a licensed physician. This podcast is owned by Neurohacker Collective.